All right, so we've been talking about having a series called Who is God? We talked about how big God is, we talked about how good God is, we talked about how much He cares about us, we talked about how relational He is, and today we're kind of along the same lines, but we're starting kind of a new theme, and it's about prayer. And I know tons of you guys have questions on prayer, and I still have questions on prayer. One of the things that's cool about prayer is you never really get to the point where you're like, I know everything about prayer. I am the prayer guru. Of course, you could say that, but you'd just be disillusioned and lying. So I won't tell you that. So here's some of the questions that we're going to be answering over the next few weeks. Have you ever wondered how prayer works? I've heard actually that question quite a bit, especially in our older guys group. How does prayer work? Does it work? Why does God sometimes seem not to answer? That's a big one. That's a huge one. That's one I've struggled with in my life, and we're gonna tackle that one. Another one is, why do we need to pray if God knows what we need already? If He knows so much, if He knows everything, then why do we need to pray? And, how do you pray? So what's the big deal about prayer? Like, what's so important about it? So why did Jesus pray so much? I mean, He was God, wasn't He? He was the Son of God, and yet He still prayed a ton. That's one of those things that gets my mind turning, going like, what is it about prayer that's so important? So let's just really quickly sum up. What's prayer? So we have a kind of a working definition for the next couple of or few weeks. So really, I'll just, in a nutshell, this is what prayer is. Prayer is a conversation with God. That's it. It's not some huge, big thing where we need to use big religious words and say these and thous. And, that's not what prayer is. In fact, we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. And we're going to talk about what prayer is not. Because Jesus' disciples actually asked Him, teach us to pray. And so Jesus did. And one of the things He said is don't pray like these guys and don't be like this. And those guys think with their big words and fancy language that somehow they're going to get close to God. That's not what prayer is about. So that's very cool because it makes like average Joe guy like me go, hey, I can pray if I don't have to use all that fancy language. So prayer can be in your mind. You can pray to God in your mind. You don't have to pray out loud because God is everywhere. And He's a big God. He's not just in one location all the time. The Bible says that God is spirit and He's everywhere. Prayer is about involving God in your life. And this is maybe the most important. Hey guys, listen up. Okay, it's my turn to talk. Your turn is next. And we're starting really late. It's quarter after already. So we want to have time for our small groups, so if we can pay attention, because we're just getting into it here. So really, really the goal of prayer is to involve God in your life. You want God to be part of your life. I want God to be part of my life. And what is prayer? Well, it can be singing. What we were just doing, when we were singing, we were praising God. That's prayer. We're going to talk about that a little bit in a couple of weeks, a little bit more. On maybe the reasons why we don't want to sing, one of them is simply maybe that we don't realize that it's prayer. We're actually praying. Praise is part of praying. When we praise God, that's praying. So, we'll get to that in a few weeks. But reading and applying God's word can be prayer. You can actually pray God's word. You're reading it, and or you're hearing it. And you pray along with the words, especially in the Psalms. There's so many things that reflect the way we feel. There's loneliness. There's questions like, God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus even said that prayer out of the Psalms. Lord, Lord, why have you forsaken me? So there's tons of things we can pray God's word. There's just like we said before. There's just talking to God, talking in your mind, talking to Him out loud. All these avenues, this prayer is this really big thing. It's not this really narrow thing where the guy up front who has a halo on and a big robe, gets to pray. That's actually the opposite of the prayer, the type of prayer that Jesus teaches us about. All right. So today we're gonna talk about one thing in specific. And my goal for you guys today is to understand who we're praying to. Now, the reason why we did the first 4 weeks of who is God, it's important to know who we're praying to, but I want to boil it down to the main image or the way that God has revealed himself to us so that we can pray to God in this way. So I'm just going to read from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. So here it is. This is Paul speaking. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to our sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. Or basically, you became one of God's sons or daughters. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is the Hebrew word for daddy. The Spirit himself testifies in our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So what is this passage? There's a lot of hard stuff to understand in here. This is the basic gist of this passage. It's saying, and I'm backtracking a little bit from the previous passages that Paul is explaining to us the difficulty there is. We have two natures. We have this sinful nature that wants to walk away from God, and we have this spirit nature that wants God, that needs God. And so these two natures are always at war within us. Our sinful nature wanting us to doubt God, to walk away from God, to pursue what the world is offering instead of what God's offering. And the other nature is the one that draws us to God. There's something about God that we know that we need. And we're just like, you know, I need something in my life. And for a lot of you who already know that, who have decided to follow Jesus, that part of you has been filled by that. And so, but you never completely leave behind this sinful nature that's always at war and trying its best to take you back and to make you doubt that you're one of God's children. And so I want to boil it down to this. This passage, it's talking about that, but it's really clearly, it's talking about we're God's kids. If you've decided to follow Jesus, you're one of God's kids. And that's a very cool imagery. And I didn't really get this fully until I became a dad. See, I would do anything for my kids. Most of you guys know who my kids are, little monkeys, Silas and Naya. I would do anything for them. I love them so much. I think about them all day. I'm talking about it. I'm sad they're not here. I love my kids so much. My little guy just learning to talk, and it's hilarious. He's carrying on conversations, and he doesn't half the time. I don't know if he knows what he's talking about. Neither do we. But it's so cool. I'm just seeing this little guy, and he talks. And when I come home, I hear him go, "Daddy!" He's just so excited. And my little girl's the same way. Daddy's home. Daddy's home. And it's such a cool feeling to walk into my home and know that I can't seriously, when I'm walking from the truck and sometimes I got carrying stuff in and I got to do stuff and I'm like, I want to get in. I want to hug my kids and say hello. And it's awesome. Well, the picture that I want to paint for you today is that God's our daddy. He's Abba, Father. He's our daddy. And a lot of you guys have a bad experience with fathers. Your dad might have, you might not have a dad. He might kind of be one of those deadbeat dads. You might have been abused by your father. There's all sorts of these images that get into our head when I'm talking about God as our daddy. And I want you, just for a moment, to try and lay those aside. I know they're hard. But when we're thinking of God as daddy, we're thinking of God as the perfect daddy. The one that knows what we're going through all the time. The one who understands what we're going through. The one who is always, always, always there for us. And the dad, it's that perfect dad. So, for a second, just think, what does the perfect dad look like? Yeah, you better talk to my wife. What does a perfect dad look like? Think about it. If you could just conjure up this perfect dad, what would he, just yell it out loud, what would a perfect dad look like? What kind of person, like, what kind of dad would he be?
Caring,
love, fun, loving, fun.
Understanding,
yeah. Anyone else? Like, people are whispering. Funny? Okay, yeah, dad, he'd be funny.
Reasonable.
Reasonable, yeah, okay.
Fair.
Fair, yeah. Willing to correct his children, especially when they want to run out on this, onto the street in front of the cars. You don't want that to happen. Yeah, so we have all these images of what a perfect dad would be. Do you, any of you guys actually know who a perfect dad is? Any of you can raise your hand and say, my dad's perfect. No. Newman, you're lying. None of us have a perfect dad. But I want you guys to think of God in this way. God is our daddy who would do anything for us. He loves us so much. And you know what? I love my kids so much, and yet I cannot even imagine how you could love someone like more than my family. And yet God somehow, his love for us way exceeds even my love for my kids and my wife. It's like way out there. And it's hard for me to even understand how somebody could love more than that. And how somebody could love me more than that. That's incredible. So here's some things that I've kind of listed about a really good dad. One of the things that a really good dad does is a good dad listens, right? You know what? A good dad has good advice, but he's not just the guy that's always giving advice. A good dad is one who also listens when you just need someone to talk to. Would that be a good dad? Yeah? When stuff in your life is just going down the toilet and you don't want advice at that point, you just want to open up and cry on someone's shoulder and tell them what's going on. This is maybe more for the ladies. Newman's get up. He's like, I don't want to cry on my dad's shoulder. Except after Saturday when you guys lost to... then there's probably some tears, right? where was I? Oh, yeah. A good dad always listens to us. So here's some of the things that maybe my kids have asked me. Okay? See, I want you guys to understand that, and that you'll actually read this passage in your small groups, that God is always listening. He always hears our prayer. So if you're wondering, does the God ask actually hear my prayers? Yes, he does. He hears it, yeah. He's everywhere. He loves us. He loves it when we talk to him. So yes, he hears our prayer. And how about this one? Here's a question. So if God hears our prayers, why doesn't he answer them? He does? Okay.
Maybe because we're shooting them at poor trajectories.
Shooting poor trajectories. Isn't the trajectory of shooting? I understand what you mean. Oh, yes. So we shoot out that prayer and it dies before it gets to God? Okay. I know. I understand. Okay. Shelby. All right. He sees what we don't see. You're not listening. Ooh, that's a good one. He's getting billions. That's true. He's getting billions. It's like, oh, I should have got the clip from Bruce Almighty where he's like looking at his computer. He's put them on his computer and there's like, he answers like a million or whatever it is, a whole bunch of them. And then he looks and he's like, ah, there we go. And there's like 4 million more. He's like, ah. Yeah. Well, that kind of ties in with the bigness of our God, right? In fact, there couldn't be enough prayers that God couldn't answer them, that he couldn't hear them all. Doesn't that blow your mind? That all of us right here could start praying to God and he'd hear each one of us. Yeah, big time multitasker. Yeah.
You gotta think, like, if it's a part of your self-centered will.
Okay. If you're looking for your will to be done instead of God's. All right. So, Here's a little thing I heard from Mark Driscoll. I thought, oh, that's great, because I had different words, and I think these words are better. God always answers our prayer with these three answers. Yes. No. Later. Huh? Is that good? I like that. So here's some examples. When my little girl was really about 2 years old, I'm the morning person. I'd get up and she'd be like, Daddy, can I have candy for breakfast? No, you can't have candy for breakfast. And now actually my little guy is doing that. He's like, candy? Candy? No, he can't have candy for breakfast. Okay, so that's a no. How about this one? When I go to the store and Naya says, Daddy, can I go with you? I'm like, yeah, yes, come with me. That'd be awesome. That's a yes. How about when she's actually asked me, because she's gotten viewed a couple times, to drive the car. Should I let her drive the car?
No.
No, but later, right? Someday she'll be able to drive the car. Maybe. We'll see. Oh yeah, that's a different answer. No, it's later. And how about this one? She says, actually even Silas the other day asked me this about Grandpa and Grandma. He wanted to go see Grandpa and Grandma. And my answer is yes, but later. They're actually going to see Grandpa and Grandma on Sunday. So, yeah, later. Okay, so I want us to think in these terms. God is our dad who loves us, would do anything for us, because he loves us so much. And that he always answers our prayers with yes, no, or later. See, lots of our prayers, because he's such a good dad, because he loves us so much, he needs to say no. Just like I have to say no to Naya. No, it's not good for her to have candy for breakfast. Right? We know that. Because if she had candy for breakfast today, she'd want candy for breakfast tomorrow and probably for lunch. And I know that's not healthy for her. Because I want her to grow up healthy and strong and to have an appetite for good food so that she can be, you know, healthy and strong when she's older too and have a good diet. Okay? So that's what God... As our dad, he sees us in this way. He's like, I want the best for you, and I would do anything for you. But you can't have that right now. Maybe later. Or later. He didn't say maybe. Maybe is like because he hasn't decided. But, you know, God's big to that. He knows already, right? So, and we're actually going to delve into some of these things. Today is kind of the overview of prayer. We're going to get into some of these questions a little bit later, like why doesn't God give me what I ask for, even when sometimes it's a really good thing. You may have prayed for your mom and dad. They might be fighting or getting in a divorce or, you know, whatever. Okay, you might be praying that God would bring them back together. You might be praying all these really good things. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but why God doesn't answer some of those prayers. Or, sorry, why he doesn't answer that with a yes. So why do we need to pray anyway? What is this whole idea about prayer? Like, what is the big deal with it? Why does God want us to pray? Okay, so it helps us to understand and remember that, hey, oh yeah, God's there. That's a good one. I didn't have that one down. Anybody else? Why? What's the big deal? Why does God say it's so important? Yeah. Yeah, that's... Well, but then you too. Roberto. Yeah, one of the big issues in any kind of relationship, whether it's just friends or marriage or boyfriend-girlfriend or whatever kind of relationship, is communication. When I do premarital counseling, that's one of the main areas we talk about, is communicating. You need to communicate with each other. Because communication helps your relationship. Without communication, your relationship... Yeah, nosedives. Okay, so what kind of things should we be praying to God? Anybody? Yeah, thankfulness, forgiveness for what's that? An answer to math questions. Oh, well, yeah. He does have the answers. And what do you think God's answer would be to that? Yeah. No, I think sometimes as a good dad, he would say, you maybe should have studied for that one. Yeah. Well, God doesn't lie, so. You know what? You know what, why it's so important? Is because God wants us to share our life with Him. And in order to have a relationship, you guys hit it right on the head. In order to have a relationship with somebody, you gotta have conversation with them. You have to communicate with them. You have to spend time with them. Because if you don't do those things, the relationship breaks down. Right? And not only does God want us to share His life with Him, He wants us to share our lives with Him so that He can share His life with us. And that, by far, is the best deal out of this relationship that you will ever get. That the God of the universe, who created the earth, the stars, everything, actually wants to share His life, this big, huge, incredible life, with you. That blows my mind. He does? He really wants that? He wants to share His life, not just me sharing my life with Him? You see, it's important even to take the small things to God. You know, I don't have real deep conversations with my kids. Once in a while, Naya, you know, asks some pretty deep questions, like, where is God? I'm like, whoa, is He under my chair? I'm looking under the chair, and instinctively, I'm like, yeah, He's under the chair. She has some pretty hard questions for a four-year-old. But I just want to be in conversation with them. And you know what? Sometimes I'm distracted because I'm not the perfect father. Sometimes I'm, you know, off in la-la land or thinking about other things. But sometimes I got to put those seemingly important things aside because I need to listen to what my little girl is saying. And sometimes that's really hard for me. But see, the perfect dad that we all have, that we all share, he does that. He wants to hear the small talk. I love it when my kids, like I asked Naya on the way home from preschool, she's going to preschool now, you know, how was school? And I love it when she tells me what she did, and you know what, it's so cool. I love it when I come home and she's, you know, she wants to talk to me about something, except that, you know, she talks all the time. In fact, the other day I'm trying to brush her teeth and she won't stop talking, and I'm like, Naya, you gotta stop talking so I can brush your teeth. And she's like, but Daddy, I gotta tell you something. It's like toothpaste dripping down her face, and I'm like, you know, I have to stop and I have to, you know, put aside the task. Okay, what do you need to tell me? So she tells me, and then I start brushing her teeth and she's still talking. But I love it. I want her to talk to me. And my little guy, he can't talk very well yet, but man, do I ever love it when he talks to me. It is so cool. And that's how God views our conversation with Him. He wants us to involve Him in all aspects of our life, even the little things. Because He loves being in conversation with us. He loves us just like a dad loves his little girls, the perfect dad loves his kids. Because we're His kids. And He loves us hugely. So we're going to go to our small groups, and I just want to say one more statement. I already said it, but I want you guys to go away with this. God deeply desires to be, not even, I have written down here, a major part of your life. He wants to be majorly in your life. He wants to you to share His life, or your life with Him, so that He can share His life with you. And that, by far, is the best deal you'll ever experience in this lifetime. So that's kind of the overview on prayer. We're going to continue. We're going to ask and try to answer some of the tougher questions surrounding prayer. If you have questions that you want us to talk about during the talks, we're going to do this for 5 weeks. And if you guys got more questions, we'll do it for longer if you want. Email me. You guys all get the youth update. If you don't, give me your email and I'll start sending you the updates on Tuesdays. And ask me questions about prayer and we'll try to cover them at Ignite. So, because I want to answer your, I don't want to just answer my questions, I want to help answer your questions, okay? All right, let's go to our small groups.